everyone. Welcome to season two, Young Valley Leaders, where we feature the upcoming movers and shakers in our backyards who are making a difference for themselves in your community. I'm your host, Lewis Holzman, and today I'm here with Justin Kuiper.
Nice to see you, Lou. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. And thanks for taking the time out of the day. Appreciate you coming out. First time to WDIY here in the station?
Or? No, I was here about a year ago when you guys still had the weird old elevator to get up here.
Ah,
so that was last time I was here.
There were some elevator problems.
Yeah,
that's
there
actually
were.
One of the oldest elevators here in the Lehigh Valley.
Fun I heard fact. That. Yeah. I did.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. But you're no stranger to the Lehigh Valley either. Not that you're as old as the elevator. Lehigh Valley native, I believe, right?
Yes, yeah, born and raised in Bethlehem.
Born and raised in Bethlehem, where we sit here today. Liberty High grad, I believe, spent college years at NCC.
Correct.
And you found yourself working out in the community here in Bethlehem. Can tell me funeral homes leading.
Yes.
The duties there, I'll let you kind of share what that is. But for those that aren't aware what a funeral home is, well, you know, it's if you have a death, you probably contact someone that can help you take care of your loved ones. And Justin has been able to do that for hundreds, thousands?
Yeah, it's, I mean, the funeral home itself has been around for over 100 years. So,
yeah,
me personally, I mean, I've been doing it 12 years now. So, I mean, I'd probably say average at least 200 funerals a year.
Wow. Yeah,
so for myself as one of the directors,
it's like 2/3 of the year.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been a lot.
That is incredible. As a supervisor, as a director, and it's pretty incredible actually seeing you rise through that role. You know, I think traditionally a lot of times it's families that either own the funeral home, but then also run it.
Correct.
And so you know, it's you know, you're basically part of the family. It might not be blood, but you are
you know,
kind of taking that baton and running with it.
Yeah,
just
for
as,
sure.
As so. Not even just locally here do you people know you and people come to you for that, but I think you've also received some national recognition within the industry.
Yeah, over the past 2 years, there's been a little bit of that, and it was kind of humbling when it all first started happening, you know, because when I started out as a funeral director, I would read, like, the National Funeral Director magazine or American Funeral Director, and I would look up to these people that were in the magazine. So, like, when I started, like, doing, like, interviews for that, or I was just part of the first call campaign in Times Square, so they featured funeral directors in Times Square. So a lot of like neat things that really, you know, grounded me though as well, and be like, what I am doing is important. So
I mean, it's one of the most emotional and hard times for that people may go through in their lives, you know, figuring out how to, you know, bury or of their loved one.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're able to do that on so many different accounts, and I'm imagining it crosses different religions, or at least a variety of different, you know, races, creeds, backgrounds.
Yes. You meet people from all walks of life.
Yeah. So looking forward to digging in and learning a little bit more about that. And as part of that, I do kind of want to start at the beginning, and whatever that beginning looks like for you, because at NCC, I believe you did funeral home studies
Correct.
Of sorts. So it's
Correct.
Something that you've known for pretty much your life that you've wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, how? Why? I mean.
So when I was 15, my great-grandmother died. First experience I ever had with death, and especially death for someone that was close to me. And I remember being at the funeral home for her funeral, and we get in our cars to go to the cemetery, and I said to my parents, I think I want to be a funeral director. And, you know, they were just like, one, why are you thinking of this, you know, at your great-grandmother's funeral? And secondly, like, you're crazy. Why would you want to do that, you know? And I stuck with it. I shadowed at a few funeral homes, called the mortuary program over at NCC, and was like, can I come watch an embalming? You know, because I knew there was a lot more to it than what I just saw the day of her funeral.
Sure.
I just fell in love with it. I love to help people. That's why I do it. You know, it's definitely a calling, but me personally, I feel like I was put on earth to help people, and that's why I do what I do every day.
That's beautiful, man. I think for myself, but probably for most, you mentioned there's a lot more to it than just like day of stuff, but that's probably what most people just associate funeral directors with is
Correct.
Day of stuff, because that's what they're experiencing, what they're there. Because you take care of everything else.
Yes.
But what is everything else? Like,
so
take
like
us behind
else,
the scenes,
I mean,
or under the covers.
Yeah. So it starts out, you know, when someone has a loved one that passed, it's that first call to the funeral home. That can happen any time of the day. It most of the time happens overnight. So, you know, it's a lot of long hours, a lot of late nights. So we get the call from the family member, nurse, whoever it may be. We'll respond typically within an hour to that place of passing, whether that's a nursing home, hospital, someone's home, bring their loved one into our care. That's kind of when the conversation starts with the family. So we'll preliminary get some information, ask them, do they know what their loved one's wishes were? And the main difference there is, you know, did they wish to be cremated? Do they wish for a traditional funeral, which is with embalming, with a viewing? And then we get the necessary permissions from that point on. Meet with the family, typically the following day, sit down with them, plan the funeral, organize everything, go over what the wishes are. But then me being a younger funeral director, you know, I try to make it a little more personalized. We're kind of still in a very traditional area here in the Valley where you have families that it's that cookie cutter funeral, the evening viewing, next day church service, then the burial. And that's fine. But I always say to them, like, you know, tell me a little bit more about mom, or tell me about dad a little bit, or your sister, brother, whoever it is. And I try to do little things at their funerals that kind of make it a little more memorable and personal to them. So it's not like the people that are attending are like, I was at one like this last week. You know what I mean? Like, I want it to be special to that person, especially when it was someone that's lived to be, you know, 95 years old.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot there. So let's bring that out in the funeral. It can be on a religious aspect. You know, you can have that Catholic mass at church, but I'm like, why don't we have someone do a eulogy? You know, have someone share, you know, all these things that your dad did throughout his life. Because, you know, the priests are good about it, but they're also just going to do more so the religion. So I'm like, you know, we got to make it personal. You know, let's, if they liked fishing, have, you know, fish in the flowers, or, you know, whatever we can do to make it personal. That's what I try to do.
Sure.
So that's typically the following day. We talk about all that. Then you usually have about two or three more days till the actual service itself. That's when we're behind the scenes doing the death certificate, notifying Social Security, life insurance companies.
So you guys handle all that
stuff. We handle everything.
Yeah, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people don't know that. You know, they think, again, it's just what you see the day of. And even when I remember my first day at the funeral home, I thought to myself, wow, what did I get myself into? Because again, it was still in my head just what that funeral director did for my family. So like, I thought to myself, oh, you just open the door, come on in, you know, but I never thought about everything till you have to get there. You know, when you're in mortuary school, you know, you read about it in the books and stuff, but until you're actually sound asleep in the middle of the night and get a call at 2 a.m. and you're like, oh, I'm the one that has to get up, go do all this right now. That's when it kind of hits you.
I imagine you remember like your first one pretty vividly.
For sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Again, I remember like my first night on call, I had 3 calls throughout the night. So like I didn't sleep at all. And I was still expected to be there the next morning at 8 a.m. And that's literally when I had the moment. And I'm like, oh, no, what I got myself into. I'm like, this is not what I thought it was. But I learned that, you know, what you're doing for these families, like when you go out in the middle of the night and you see these families and they're so emotional, in the end, after the service and everything, they're just so thankful for everything you did for them. And I love how rewarding this career has been. I love the people that I get to meet, you know, every day. And again, it's people from all different walks of life.
It's probably pretty sticky too.
It, yeah.
In the sense of like, you know, you help support a family member in one way, you know, 10 years later, 5 years later, 2 months later, whatever it might be, like they call you again if
correct.
They have
a, yeah. And like, you know, being 12 years into it now, I've finally started getting those repeat families. And, you know, one thing I do as a young funeral director, I give out my cell phone number to my families. Most old school funeral directors are, oh, call the funeral home, call the funeral home. I find it easier that people just want to send you a text message if they have like a simple question. But these families, they save your number. And then, like you just said, 5 or 6 years down the road, someone else passed away in their family. So they just call you on your cell phone like it's nothing. And, you know, I pick it up and they'll be like, oh, Justin, it's Lou. You know, you helped me out years ago. And now I had someone else that passed in my family. I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, like I try to remember as much as I can. And right. It catches you off guard a little
sure.
bit. But I think for me, I feel comforted that they felt comfortable enough to be able to just pick up the phone and call me like that, you know. But I've also gotten messages on like Facebook Messenger that someone's mom passed away or their dad passed. Like people are very casual about death, it seems, anymore.
Sending messages in a bottle, however
yeah, they however they can get there. Yeah, that's what they'll do. Yeah,
that's incredible. And so as funeral director, did you work your way up through that? Like, do you do the embalming yourself?
Yeah.
Do you
so,
do the cremation? Mm-hmm. Like, the heck, you have a team? Like, how does that whole staff work kind of behind the
scenes? So we have, there's 8 of us at the funeral home right now. Not everyone's a licensed director. But basically, when I first started out, you know, I was the guy that was going out in the middle of the night all the time. I was, you know, the intern at the time, and I appreciated it, you know, in the moment I didn't. But now looking back, that's where I learned everything, you know, because I was by myself being able to say, you know, this is what I have to do, or you know what to do. I wasn't second guessing what I was doing in the moment. So I don't go out in the middle of the night anymore. You know, we have staff now that does that because, yeah, it's very nice. Because part of what I figured out over the years, too, was I can't serve the families to the best of, like, my ability if I'm not at my best.
Just exhausted.
Yeah. So, like, if I was out all night, you know, I would come in the next morning and I'm like, oh, now I have to sit with all of them all day long. And, you know, you never know what the meeting with a family is going to be like. Some people are very business and they're in and out. Then you have families that want to sit there and want to talk to you for, like, hours on end. And so it was.
So it's not, like, scheduled. You kind of have to have someone
so
come
like,
in.
So, we'll, yeah, like, we'll
schedule
like
it. But, like, the
block.
Yeah. You never know. You never know where it's going to take you. So I've gotten better with it where, like, when I first meet a family, I kind of know how they're going to be. You know, I've, you know, can read them a little bit and know, like, these are people that their business, they don't want to get to know you. They don't care if you know them. They just, you know, do your job. You're the funeral director. That's it. Then you have other families that, like, they'll ask you, like, about your life and your experiences, or they want your advice. And
do you have a preference?
Yeah. I mean, I think I like the people that kind of give you a little something.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Like, transactional.
Yeah, like I get the families that it is, you know, more so we're just contacting you. We want you to cremate our dad. That's it. But I like being able to kind of talk to families and get to know their people because, again, they just assume, like, oh, it's cremation. You put them in this urn, call it a day. And I'm like, yes, but we can also do some of these other things. And then when you start talking and, like, have that conversation of what their, you know, mom or dad liked, it helps them open up. And they're like, you know what? Let's do a celebration of life, or let's at least do, like, these prayer cards that have this special saying on them. So it's like educating people a little bit. You know, some people come in, they think they know everything. And, you know, if they want it cut and dry, it's cut and dry. But we try to pull anything out of them that we can.
Sure. So, I mean, you've been doing it for 12 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
You knew since 15 that you wanted to kind of chart this path and this course.
Yeah.
Looking back 15 years ago, maybe even 20, like, what would you tell your younger self?
I would say be yourself. That was my biggest thing, because when I started out, and this probably went until, like, 8 years in, I'd say, like, I would be so uptight at work just because I was so nervous all the time, you know, and families, it is a big thing.
Someone's death, like,
correct. And, like, if you do something the day of the funeral, like, it's once and done. You're not, you know, there's no
repeat.
Yeah, you know, I just was always so hard on myself. And if there was, like, a family that at the end just said, like, thanks to me, I would, like, think in my head, I'm like, what could I have done better, you know? And but again, I wasn't giving people my true self either.
Sure.
So when I sat down with families, I just got right down to business. You know, it was like, this is the information I need. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. And now, you know, I just make it more of a conversation with them. And, you know, I've made some of my best friends right now are people that I've met through the funeral home by serving their families.
That's incredible.
So it is, and it's great. And it's, you know, when you think about that, and I...
Way more than a job.
Completely. And that's why I think, you know, looking back now, I just wish earlier on I was just myself, because I feel like I could have related to so many more families over those 8 years. It's all falling into place now.
And it takes some time to fall into place with anything
that's
worth it in life.
For sure.
And I think that tenet of being yourself is something that crosses every industry.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes challenging because there's different pressures or outside influences that.
Yeah. And, you know, like,
a
lot of, like, my friends, they'll make fun of me because if we're out and doing something and I get a call on my phone, I pick it up and they're like, oh, here he goes with his funeral director voice. But it's one of those things where it's like, I think any of us, when we're at work doing our jobs, like,
everyone has a phone voice.
You do have a phone voice, right? And, like, mine might be a little softer and more emotional, but it's just like I try to match, you know, the energy that I'm getting.
Yeah.
You know, like, these people don't want someone who's like, hey, what's up on the other line? Yeah. You know, somebody just passed away. You know, they want something soft.
So trying to get buried?
Yeah, exactly. Like, they want something, you know, that's a little more emotional for them. So my friends laugh at me and they're like, oh, you always talk about you have to be yourself. That is not you. And I'm like, but it's me like in this aspect of being a funeral director.
It's a part of you that your friends actually just don't know.
It is.
In that same way.
Yeah. So. And like, you know, some of my close friends now, like either that I've met through the funeral home or that have now had a passing and have used me as their funeral director, like they see it, mm-hmm. you know, and they're like, now we understand like what you do, why you talk that way, you know, or whatever it may be.
Yeah. Context always is key. And,
yeah.
We're going to get a little bit more back into that here. We're here with Justin Kuiper and we'll be right back.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
And we're back, Lewis, here with Justin. We're talking about funerals. We're talking about burying people with respect. We're talking about being yourself when you're out in the community, when you're out doing really whatever you're doing, because why should you be anyone other but you? So, Justin, when we're, you know, going through the community, you talk about your friends and how they don't recognize your funeral mm-hmm. home voice and they don't recognize that part of who you are because right. they've just never experienced that of you. But you're known by so many in the community, not just because of what you do for work, but also you've been here for your whole life. You have family here. Like, what does community really mean to you as those things intersect together?
So I think for me, like community, you know, when I first started out as a funeral director, one of my things, obviously not coming from that, you know, funeral home family background, I really wanted to make a name for myself. So it was like, I wanted to be able to give back to the community that gave me so much, you know, when I was growing up. And one of my biggest things with community now is like when I go into like schools for career fairs or whatever that may be, like I want to be the voice that maybe like my younger self didn't have. So for me, community, like finding any little connection when I sit down with a family, like I might not know the people, but I know like they'll talk about, oh, I worked at WDIY or I did this or I did that. And like I can pull things, you know, from all over the valley. So when I started as a funeral director, I made sure to get involved in that community. So whether that's serving on, you know, a lot of local boards, organizations, volunteer work, whatever it may be, I made sure that, you know, I kind of had a presence within the community other than just at the funeral home.
So, I mean, you shouted out that you're involved with some stuff. You want to mm-hmm. shout out any of the associations that you're part of?
Yeah, I serve on the board for the American Heart Association. I just stepped down as board chairman last year. I also am with Cancer Support Community of the Greater Lehigh Valley, Dream Come True, part of the Goodfellas Club. You know, I was with the Chamber for a little bit. Blood Cancer United. So kind of all over the place with some of the organizations because I'm someone that I don't like to say no.
Not a cancer organization though.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, I think for me now, because I've been doing these organizations and the boards, I really have scaled back my board memberships a little bit where, you know, I do it for, it has to have some type of meaning to me now.
Sure.
You know, you get a lot of boards. Once you serve on one, you know, you kind of get a lot of these boards that reach out and they're like, oh, you want to be on our board and you want to be on our board. And I'm like, I never even heard of your organization. But, right. you know, if you tell me about it a little bit, maybe I can find like some common ground there.
Initially, when you're coming up, like it's good from a professional development standpoint, get your name out there
Correct.
To do these things. But then it becomes overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for me, so when I did a few campaigns, you know, to raise money. So I did one for the Heart Association. I did Visionary of the Year for Blood Cancer United. And, I had done them back to back, and I had this older lady who had sent me a message on Facebook, and she was like, I am so confused as to like what you support and what you're raising funds for now because you do it so often. And I don't know why I let it bother me so much, but she was right, you know, because I'm like, if I'm jumping from organization to organization to help them raise funds, like, you know, most of the time, the story behind it is I'm doing it to honor the families that I've served that have lost someone to a heart attack or lost someone to cancer. But I thought to myself, you know, I have a large network and I didn't want to keep tapping into my network for funds, you know? So I was like, I either have to get a little more creative or just, you know, volunteer and support in different ways for a little bit mm-hmm. because I had done so many fundraising campaigns right in a row. So I stopped with those for the time being.
Fair enough.
But yeah, any organization that I kind of help out now, it's I try to find my own, you know, common ground with them. You know, there were some organizations that are like, oh, well, you can do this because of X, Y, Z. And I'm like, I want it to feel like genuine,
yeah.
You know, but I also don't like to say no. So I'm figuring it out as I go along.
Finding the balance there.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Something you mentioned earlier in the previous segment was, you know, your younger funeral director, mm-hmm. and you also mentioned here, you know, just trying to set an example for, you know, younger people that may not have that. So can you talk a little bit about what it means to be, you know, like a younger leader here in the Valley, but just really in general within your profession, but also just out here in the community?
Yeah. So, I mean, when it comes to my profession, I mean, I 2 years ago signed on with this mentorship program. It's a national program, and I was one of their mentors for up-and-coming funeral directors. Again, funeral service is moving in the direction where it's not, you know, you still have your family-owned funeral homes, but it's not all family that's working at them. So when I had my first mentee, he, you know, was struggling a little bit and would say to me, you know, I don't know where I fit in because it's all family that work here, and then there you are. You know, so you do, you feel out of place, you know, especially if they're talking about something and you're just like, yeah, you know, I had a good weekend too, or like whatever it may be, right? So it was like on the funeral aspect, like I love being able to give back and again, be that person that I wish I had, you know, when I was graduating mortuary school, getting into the field. More so in the community here, kind of the same thing. Like it's just letting people know that, you know, yes, we're a small town, but people will say all the time, like, I can't wait to graduate and move away. And I'm like, you know, I used to be like that a little bit. You know, you're here your whole life and you want to get out and experience different things. But mm-hmm. I think go out in the community, find where you can, like, fit in a little more. Like, there's so many things to do here. There's so many organizations and, you know, events that go on. And, you know, I have events, like, every night. And granted, you get to the point sometimes where you're like, I'm tapped out this week. You know, I just can't go, you know, or whatever it is. But it's just like getting involved is like a good feeling for me to be able to give back any way that I can.
Yeah. No, it's critical to get involved because that's really what makes that community feel at home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Regardless of if you've been here forever, if you continue to do the same thing with the same people that you did through your childhood, then yeah, it's going to be a little stale. It's not going to feel that much different, but there's so much out here to explore.
Yeah, and I think a lot of funeral directors, you know, like they don't get out, like you don't see funeral directors out in the public all the time, you know. They do a lot of things with churches and, you know, nursing homes or hospitals. So like I'm kind of like, yes, I do those things, but I'm also on the flip side where I'm like, I'm going to these networking events or these, you know, Lehigh Valley style happy hour, whatever it may be, like things that I also enjoy and I go to with my friends because that's also where I can kind of recharge my social battery a little bit, you know, and people are like, how can you do that? And I'm like, because I'm there with my friends. So like we go to these events and it's like we're hanging out,
right.
You know, so it's like it feels good too. And like you're also doing good
for sure.
As you're doing it.
For sure. So kind of in the same vein of, you know, doing something different, any projects or travels or anything upcoming that you're excited about and want to share?
Project-wise, so, again, I was part of this national campaign, the First Call campaign, the beginning of this year. It's when they featured funeral directors, you know, in Times Square from across the country, and they're kind of continuing that and seeing where they can go with it next.
That'd be so cool to be featured in Times Square.
It was a surreal moment, for sure, and it was something, you know, when they first reached out, sent everything in for it, you know, I like lost sight of it, you know, and then they sent it out and they're like, all right, like we secured the boards, it's tomorrow, this time, blah, 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 right? And I'm like, oh, all right. And I just thought to myself, I'm not going to go, you know, I'm like, what if it's not even up there? Because like the email seemed like so odd and they're like, you know, we're going to try to put up as many people as we can. And I was telling my family, my friends, and they're like, you have to go. They're like, we're so close. Like, why not just go?
Yeah.
If you're there, you're there. If not, it is what it is. You went. So, like, when we're standing there and it came up, like, it was surreal because, like, you just, I never expected that, you know, ever, especially, like, on the side of being a funeral director for it. You know, I could see if it was something for, like, the Heart Association or, like, a commercial or something, but, like, being a funeral director up there in this whole, you know, for 15 minutes, all the billboards there, it was all about funeral directors.
Wow.
And they featured all different ones. It, you know, they had a little story about you, and it was like some did talking videos, you know, whatever it may be. But it was like, again, just like a nice highlight on our profession, because it is a profession that people don't talk about.
It is a little bit more like below the radar in a way, because it's, again, that one day that people are seeing it in action. It's not something that's like super top of mind. So I'm glad you're able to get that spotlight. And, and it also, you're carrying yourself in such a maybe progressive way of how the profession is heading.
That's the thing. I think any, you know, up and coming funeral directors, that's what we want. Like, it's like anything else in your life. Like, we want to be transparent with what we do. You know, you have a lot more funeral directors on social media now. And, you know, I've been doing the same thing where, you know, you talk about things and people want to see that you're a real person and they can relate to, you know. When I, you know, sat down with a funeral director and, you know, in the past for family members, it was like, I wanted someone that treated me like their own, you know, like you treat them like their family, because that's what I would want.
Sure.
So now, like, when I'm with a family, that's what I do, you know, and that's why I'm like, yeah, here's my cell phone number. You can text me anytime. I'll always get back to you at some point. And it's just like, you make people feel comfortable and, you know, they see that you're a true person. People all the time think funeral directors, you know, sit in the dark all day, or we're like the Addams Family. And it's like the complete opposite of that, sure. You know? And like, are there some like that?
Probably.
Absolutely. But that's in any job.
Yeah. Well, change it up a little bit. Thinking about the Lehigh Valley here, any hidden gems, must-dos, must-sees? What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? I mean, I think going back to, like, I go to a lot of these networking events with my friends. You know, we enjoy them. We enjoy getting out. We enjoy meeting new people. There's some that we walk into and we're there for 10 minutes and walk right back out because it's just not what we thought it was going to be, or whatever the case is. So it's like, I'm very much a foodie. I go around, try a lot of the new like restaurants that open up, happy hours, just like anything like that. But I just love being social. I love being out. You know, my family laughs at me because I'm out almost every night doing things, but I just enjoy it, and I do it with my close friends, and that's
part of
what makes
who you
it.
Are.
Yeah, exactly.
It's part of what gives you energy in
exactly.
life. I get that wholeheartedly. Yeah. How can people find you if you'd like to share?
So I mean, I'm on social media. I mean, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, whatever it may be. It's just my name on everything. Truly, if it's anyone like thinking about being a funeral director or anything like that, I mean, just contact the funeral home. You can email me, and I'm always happy to, you know, give tours, you know, talk to people. I just did a tour actually with nursing students from Moravian. So
nice.
It's like, you know, anything like that. I mean, we're an open door at the funeral home. It sounds weird. People are like, I don't want to be there. But if you're curious about it and you want to talk more about it, just reach out.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Any core values, principles, or things like that that you can attribute to your success, or that you just generally carry yourself by?
I think, again, it's, you know, being true to who I am. Organization is key with funeral service. You know, you talk to a lot of people, you sit down with a lot of different families sometimes because, you know,
roll out the wrong body on the wrong day.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like being organized in that sense, making sure, you know, did I order the flowers? Did I do this? Did I do that? So organization is key for me. And again, though, it all goes back to I just am myself. You know, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up. It's just part of who anyone is.
Yep.
And if I do, you know, I'm just transparent with the families. And I'm like, listen, like I, you know, forgot to do this, but we're doing everything we can and we'll have it, you know. And it's just like, again, that shows that you're a real person. No one's perfect. You know, you're going to make mistakes over time.
It shouldn't be a sterile experience.
Correct. And I think also, though, too, like, there's some things in my head that I know might be wrong, but to the families and like the people there, they have no idea.
No clue.
You know, and my boss, he would always say to me, I'm like, just relax.
Yeah.
He goes like, people don't even see that or they don't know. And he's like, you know, remember it for next time. But again, they don't know in the moment, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, that is what matters.
Yeah.
And we do got to get this wrapped up here pretty soon. But before we do, any final words of advice, encouragement, strength for our upcoming leaders that are listening in?
Yeah, I mean, again, get out, get involved, and be yourself, you know, just be true to who you are, and don't be scared to, you know, come out of your shell a little bit, try new things, try new experiences, and again, as you get involved in the community, you're going to find things that you enjoy, and you're going to find things that you don't, but the only way to do it is to get out there, so that's the most important part.
Get out there, people.
Yeah.
Shout out from the rooftops.
Yep.
Don't be afraid to take that energy forward.
Exactly.
Be yourself. Justin, thank you so much for taking the time with me here today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of
Appreciate
course.
It.
Justin Kuiper, Lewis Holzman, Young Valley Leaders. You can find the show airing monthly on the second Monday of every month, 6:30 p.m., and then streaming online on all of your favorite channels, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, social media, WDIY.org, and WDIY's social handles. Big thanks to James, Seamus, WDIY for giving us the time, space, and energy for bringing this come to life, sharing our stories like Justin's, super critically important here. Public radio is a really big pillar in our community as a nation, not just here in Bethlehem. And, of course, to you, buddy Matt, thank you for sitting here and making us come alive here on the camera, making us look good, feel good. Justin, thank you.
Thank you again. Appreciate it.
Young Valley Leaders, over and out. Till next month.